All right, May 16th on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Mr. Kaufman rolls on through the spring, through the summer. There is no off-season, Ira. I'm going to drill that into your head once and for all. No off-season on JoeBucksFan.com. And there's no off-season, of course, at your sponsors, your presenters, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. It's time for Memorial Day sales event, Ira, at both locations. Morris is more. Ed Morris always gives you more. During our Memorial Day sales event, you'll get more savings all month long, like 2017 Escalades, $739, zero down. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, your 2016 Dealer of the Year. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Dealer has all the details. And Ira at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa this month. Morris always has more during the Memorial Day sales event all month long. Get more selection and more customer benefits at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Right now, you can drive off in a 2017 XT5 luxury crossover for only $399 a month. Zero down, Ira. Still zero down. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon to get more or click EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. That's Brandon's only luxury dealership, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. That's where you get started when you're shopping for a car, an SUV. Unbelievable.
You know, Steve, when we go to One Buck Place, which we do on a regular basis, you ever swing around and look in the player's parking lot? Filled with Cadillacs. Filled with Cadillacs. And the employee parking lot, too.
Cadillac's very affordable, Ira, as you know, and it will happen. I see that twinkle in your eye. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper's back with us today, fresh from South Beach. He's been frolicking with brown-skinned women across the beaches and the bars, and he is back and refreshed.
And he's here to tell us that the Marlins' attendance isn't much better than the Rays' attendance, Steve. No question.
All right, Ira, a lot of stuff going on this week, of course. Before we get to your column and some really neat nuggets that we have, just giving everybody a heads up. Details aren't out there yet, but the heads up, Ira is going to be making what's called a fan retreat, all part of a new website, fanretreat.com, that'll be live and ready for everyone coming up soon. But you know what, that means opening day, but the night before opening day, you're going to be able to hang out with Ira at a hotel with cocktails and schmoozing and Bucks fans uniting and bonding,
chanting.
A fan retreat with Ira Kaufman is coming up. And I can't wait to start talking about that for real right here on the podcast.
You don't think Javier's going to fly in for that, do you, Steve? I mean, is there a chance?
It's possible. It's possible. We've got a lot going on opening day. There's also going to be a Joe Bucks fan watch party at Abe's place.
Now, wait a minute. You're taking fans away from my my retreat party.
No. There's plenty of be going to the game, plenty staying home, big parties everywhere. And we got a huge surprise coming up for the opening day at Abe's. It's quite a surprise.
And you got other announcements along the way, right?
It's not women, but it's close. I can't really say it's not close.
How can it be close to women?
It's
you're the women or you're not?
You're right.
Steve, you got other announcements down the line, right? There's one after the other.
Other Ira appearances, other things happening. Very exciting. If you haven't already, and I'm going to put this out here first, Ira, because fans have been, your listeners, your great listeners have been, they've been doing it. They've been listening and taking action. So if you listen at iTunes, like a lot of people do at iTunes, leave a review of the podcast. We've had a lot of them coming in because we've been asking for them. Hey, if you don't like it, spit it out. If you have some constructive criticism, we'll take it. But you know what? Leave a response for Ira. Leave a review. It's nice. It drowns out these morons that come out there and blast you. And it's nice. It's nice to see. So
wait, you know the number one thing I'm hearing? Instead of 45 minutes, why don't you make it an hour? And you know what? That's a nice compliment, Lee.
It is. And as Steve and I always say, longer doesn't mean better. Sure, we'd like to do a three-hour podcast. Doesn't mean it'd be better.
And my wife says that all the time.
I just heard from a Lightning employee, longtime Lightning employee that I know way back when I was covering the Lightning, Lee. And the guy goes, started listening to your podcast, Kaufman. You know, I don't like the radio stations. There's no morning sports talk. Need something for my drive. Now they got the Kaufman podcast going on, DeKemper.
Wow.
Steve's showing me the numbers. The numbers seem to be going up every month and
continue to soar. Even last week, sort of a downish kind of week. Draft euphoria is over. You know, it keeps on rolling. So kudos to you, Ira. It's all about your sage wisdom and your
and the commissioner's doing very well on his podcast too, Steve.
And your fantastic deodorant. And what else we got? Todd Wright's podcast, Friday.
You got Rock with the video.
Fantasy football, Rock Riley's videos. Very good one today. We're recording this Monday. Very good one from Rock. Talks to Keith Tandy. He's got Cameron Brait giving a little bit of dish there. Rock's getting out, talking to the players.
There's a subject matter for you. And Steve did some research and found out I might be wrong. Actually, I am wrong. He had Brad Culpepper on his very first video. And if people aren't watching these videos, there's some strong stuff in here. And Brad, I wrote about this on JoeBucksFan.com. And real quick, that one of the reviews said we refer to JoeBucksFan.com too often. It's a podcast, not a radio show. St. Louis Post-Dispatch has a couple guys do a baseball podcast, which is wildly popular. Those guys pimp their stories like you won't believe. So we're good on pimping Joe Bucks fan. Thank you very much.
It's the parent company, Steve. There's nothing wrong with that.
And anyway, Brad Culpepper on Rock Rally's video said that pass rushing has changed. When he played, which is not that long ago, he said you had roughly had 4 seconds to get to a quarterback. He said the way quarterbacks release the ball so quick now, you're lucky if you can get there under 3 seconds.
That's why, and to back that up, Steve, sacks are down. Sacks are down.
You sure about that, Kaufman? You sure?
Steve did research, and I got slapped around.
I don't want to interfere with his bits, his nuggets over there, but I'll say this. If you get 38 sacks now as a team, which is a little over two a game, you're among the league leaders, which I think the Bucks had about 38 sacks last year. Where are the 50-sack teams? They're a relic of the past. And the irony is, teams are throwing more than ever. Steve, I just think sacks are down total. You tell me your research.
Well, it's an interesting subject because there is more passing than ever before. And, of course, rules have changed. And just the style of play has changed, period. But that aside, what I was looking up was there are no more double-digit sacks play guys years ago than there are now. Same.
Oh, I see.
It's all the same. When you're looking, if you just look at double-digit sacks guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there's... And, of course, there's been a ton of difference in the rule changes. So the only point was, of course, there's a lot of teams using three-step drops and different kinds of offensive sets. It may be more challenging to get to the passer, but teams still get to the passer. But it's just different. So you know what? The Bucks' pass rush has been inconsistent, period. No matter, even though they were ninth in the league in sacks last year, it wasn't anywhere close to good enough. So we're focused on what's good, not the PFF tribe stat nonsense.
But Lee's point is well taken. Quarterbacks make it more of a point than ever to get rid of the ball very, very quickly.
Oh, I got to give credit where credit's due. It was Brad Culpepper said that, not me. That was coming from Culpepper. And that was on Rock Rally's video.
But you quoted him inaccurately, or accurately.
Accurately, yes.
let's get to this. You wrote a column Monday. It was celebrated by fans across the world.
Celebrated.
Especially the people who were upset by Tom Jones' recent column. Tom Jones' recent column in the Tampa Bay Times. Tom sort of outlined why, don't expect the Bucks to make the playoffs this year. It's really what he outlined. And he had some faulty points in there, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about your column, which really said and laid out a very strong case. Look, this Bucks team is primed for the penthouse of the NFC South.
Instead of the basement, and until last year, Lee, 5 straight years in that basement. I was the guy, talk about his bits original research. I was the guy that came up with the fact that the Bucks were the first NFC team since the merger, 1970, to finish last in its division, any division, NFC, 5 straight years. Never been done. Thank God they made the move up. Moving up like the Jeffersons, to second place. Look, Atlanta turned out to be a hell of a team. Mm-hmm. You got to give Izbitz his props for that, Lee. After week one, I said, Atlanta's got the looks of a 5-11 team. Izbitz said, they're a lot better than that, Ira. Turns out Izbitz was right, I'm wrong. It pains me to say that, Lee. You know that. But I think, Lee, I make the case in the column that the Bucks have had a wonderful offseason, when you look at it in perspective. You got additions. You don't have a lot of guys coming off big surgeries. You don't have guys that had surgery a month ago.
Like the Panthers and the other teams.
And these other teams are taking shots. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton, especially. Atlanta lost Kyle Shanahan, and they could have that Super Bowl hangover. And Max Unger of the Saints is coming off surgery. He's a key guy up front, mm-hmm. especially for a little quarterback like Breeze. And they really, I don't think they've made significant defensive improvements. And I don't think Buck fans should be up in arms about Adrian Peterson helping the Saints because, guys, let's admit one thing. They score plenty of points, the Saints. you know, instead of scoring 31, they're going to score 33. They still got to win a shootout, Steve. So I think it's been a hell of an offseason from a Buck perspective.
I got a couple questions for you, Ira.
Go ahead.
You know, you were talking about, and I remember you wrote about it extensively, how the Bucks set that record for being in the basement so many years in a row since the merger. Why was that? What, I mean, you've been covering the NFL since you were doing shots with Bobby Lane on the sidelines up at Tiger Stadium. Why is that? Why?
There's only one answer, Lee. Mm-hmm. There's only one answer.
And?
Bad drafting.
Okay.
Bad drafting. That has turned around with the current regime. Mr. Light, say what you will about his free agency pickups, and the three of us have said plenty about it, mm-hmm. and deservedly so. And we'll see what happens with Aguayo. Things don't look good right now. You're going to miss.
Sure.
You're going to miss. Bill Polian missed mm-hmm. second-round picks. But, you know, I'll stack Jason Light's draft acumen right now up against almost anybody. And bad drafts catch up to you. You mm-hmm. can't get around bad drafts, Lee.
Go ahead.
That's what happened to the Bucks starting in about 2005,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they lost some picks from the Gruden acquisition. Mm-hmm. And they made a lot of bad picks.
Now, here's another follow-up question, too, you know, about the Bucks being in the basement for so many years prior to last year. You and I and Steve have written about this till we're blue in the face. Our fingers have been raw from typing, and we'll continue to do so unless this stain on the franchise is corrected. Notice the consistency of the Bucks stinking, and they have yet to find a double-digit sack guy since Simeon Rice left. Coincidence or not?
A factor. Maybe even a major factor. Mm-hmm. But while they're still looking for a double-digit sack guy, they're not looking for that man under center. And, of course, that accompanied my answer about bad drafts is mm-hmm. bad quarterbacks, relatively
okay.
speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Fill-ins, McCown, Glennon, who still has a ton to prove.
I told you not to say McCown on the podcast without an advance warning. You can't do that.
You can bleep that out, Steve.
I got a one-liner
here. By the way, am I wrong, or does Josh McCown have a chance to start on week one this year? What is going on in the National Football League?
Well, the Jets are trying to get a top two pick.
That's got to be what
yeah.
it is. I mean,
yeah. You know, they said they're not rebuilding. Of course they're not rebuilding. They're tanking for that number two pick, at least. Maybe top pick overall. Speaking of McCown, I got a one-liner for you here. The new prime minister of France. I'm not going to try to pronounce
right.
his name. Garçon.
Relatively young guy.
39, I think.
Yeah.
And some guy tweeted out, here's a guy, he's a G7 leader of a G7 country. What have you done in your life? And I retweeted, I watched Josh McCown make 13 starts in 1 year and I didn't throw up.
You know what? I'm not sure what's a better accomplishment over there, DeKemper. That's neck and neck. Steve, to my point, I'll reiterate, from an offseason perspective, things that could not have gone much better if you're a Buck fan. And looking around the division, there's some serious questions going on.
I think they could have gone better. I'm sorry. I'm an optimist, and I expected more this offseason. Sorry. But they did very well, and I agreed with your column that they are in prime position to challenge for the division title. We'll see how far the Falcons really fell off from their offensive coordinator, but it does present an opportunity for the Bucs in whatever that learning curve might be in Atlanta for them to straighten things out. I'll say this about Matt Ryan. He's had a lot of experience in changing offensive coordinators his time. So this isn't like a brand new thing for him.
But it is brand new for Steve Sarkisian.
It is new for Sarkisian. One thing Dirk Cutter did when he got to Atlanta was based, and Cutter's told this story, he said to Matt Ryan, hey, man, what you're doing is working. I want to enhance what you're doing, not install the Dirk Cutter offense necessarily. So it'll be interesting to see.
I think that would be wise for Sarkisian to adopt that same approach because Ryan, as a test to his MVP award, Steve, was sensational, even from week one. I mean, they lost to the Bucks, but Ryan played pretty well in that game. I don't think Ryan had a – I'm not sure Ryan had a bad game last year. He was that good.
League MVP, enough said. I'll say this. I was doing some research while you were talking because, you know, we try to be as thorough
cutting
as we
edge.
Can
you
be.
Cutting edge, Steve.
Sacks are down about 12% from where they were 20 years ago.
In other words, I was right and you were wrong.
Yeah, it was sacks are down about 10-12%.
Did you hear what I just said?
Sacks are down.
I was right, comma.
Okay.
And Isbits, comma, wrong.
Oh.
So we're even now with the Falcons. You were way ahead.
Yeah, there's your 10% right there. Enjoy it, Ira. Enjoy it.
Steve, 12% while passing is up considerably at the same time.
I'm not sure it's up considerably.
You can do your cutting edge stats on that,
it's,
too.
It's probably up 10%.
Probably up 5 to 10%. Yeah.
From 20 years ago now. 30 years ago, different story, but that's the case. All right.
Hold on. I'm not finished with the offseason here. DeKemper, tell me where I'm wrong here. Cam Newton hurts his shoulder against San Diego in a game that the Panthers win to make them 5-8. They're going nowhere. I don't know if they were mathematically eliminated, but practically they were eliminated. Mm-hmm. Steve, 5-8. Lee, 5-8. Three games left. The guy's got a bum shoulder. It turns out to be a torn rotator, partially torn. He plays the last three games. Then he has surgery March 30th. Dumb, dumb, dumb. You don't let the player decide, I'm good enough to play. I don't know what those Carolina doctors were looking at, but the guy could have had shoulder surgery December 30th, and he has it March 30th. Now he can't throw till training camp. If then, I think shame on the Panthers.
Are these same medical professionals also under the employ of the Mets?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on, but Buck doctors have not been busy. You know, you got Jacquees Smith. You know, we don't know about Jacquees Smith. But, you know, is he a major factor in 2017? Probably
not. Well, okay, well, that dovetails to you loving the Bucs offseason. Did they add to their pass rush? Chris Baker? Maybe. We hope so. But they didn't add to this woeful edge rush that we're talking about.
I didn't say it was woeful. I said it needed improvement.
No, I said it was woeful. That came out of my mouth. Because it's not consistent. It's not – because we've as a podcast, as a Bucs family, as an organization, we've moved into high expectation mode.
Fair point, Steve.
Does this look like a...
So okay is not good enough. Okay.
Does the pass rush to you now look like a playoff caliber pass rush? To me, no.
I'm not going
to
be a hypocrite. I've been talking about coming off the edge not good enough, Lee. I'm sticking with it. I'm a little nervous.
I've written that many times. I'm like you. Until they prove they can find a double-digit sack guy, they don't have one. Until they can prove otherwise.
And it is this thing about, 15 sacks for Noah Spence. Well, now, come on, Steve.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we talked about that, but there's a new thing with Spence. And I want to take just a short break to visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Fantastic. Even a redesigned website as well as at EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. You got to go there. You absolutely have to be there. Now, Ira Spence, Noah Spence, looked me in the face last year. I was able to break the story that he was having an MRI after the season and likely social.
This shoulder, is the man dubbed the animal.
Shoulder,
right?
Surgery.
Dubbed an animal.
Yeah. Noah Spence, last year's rookie defensive end, second round pick. So he told me about his offseason MRI was coming and then shoulder surgery, good chance. But he said to me, we had a discussion about it. It wasn't just a one-off. He talked to me about how he wants to gain 10 pounds in the offseason to better play the run and put on more weight. Some man weight. You know, he felt he needed it. And Mike Smith, I went back and looked, the quotes called him an, quote, undersized defensive end multiple times. Lee remembers writing and talking to Mike Smith early in the season saying, well, you know, we're going to ease him into the run game. You know, we can't, he's not a three down guy right out of the gate. So now Noah Spence report comes out. He's been talking. He's talking about how he has lost roughly 6, 7, 8 pounds in the offseason. He's gotten more lean, and he's looking to get leaner.
Thought you told me you wanted to add 10 pounds.
Exactly. So he tells me and was very clear in December that he wants to add 10 pounds of beef because he's undersized, which nobody argues. And now the guy's 240-ish and is looking to get even leaner. So that was kind of weird. It was like, are you going to play the run in the NFL with Donovan Smith blocking you at 238 pounds? That is tough, tough, tough duty.
It doesn't square with being a three-down right end over there, Lee. It doesn't square where, again, he'd be a situational pass rusher, Lee, most likely with Ayers getting the bulk of the time.
It kind of backs up what I've been smelling for about a month or so. See what you think.
You're
Ira.
Not going to bring up the old 3-4, are you now? The Kemper?
Of course he is. Here it comes.
I'm not saying they're going there full time, but it sure smells like what you guys are talking about, Spence, with guys they added to the roster, that they're going to show that more than they did last year.
That big seventh rounder could be a nice little nose tackle.
That guy just screams nose tackle in the 34 to me. Just screams it. Chris Baker has experience as a defensive end in a 34. Now, granted, they're not paying McCoy to be a 34 defensive end.
Where does that leave McCoy?
Where does that leave Ayers, who's a damn good player? When he's healthy, he showed he was very good last year.
Like Lee said, though, I don't think it's going to be the best options. I don't think it'll be the base defense.
Didn't Harris play some 34 with Denver?
I don't know.
Wasn't Wade Phillips?
I believe he did, but I still think it's going to be a base four-man front.
I absolutely agree. I completely agree with what you're saying. That there's no question they're not going full-time to 34 or 60% of the time.
There's nothing wrong with presenting different looks, Steve.
Yeah,
sure.
Robert Ayers in Denver, he didn't have much of a career there at
all. Not much.
They considered him a bust of a first-round pick.
Yeah.
But he grinded through.
Ayers will tell you
that when Jack Del Rio showed up as coordinator, Del Rio revived his career and was a guy who got through to him, and then he moved on and was real well with the Giants. But the Spence thing was just odd, Ira. A little bit odd, a little bit of a thing to think about this offseason. We knew this off the record in Phoenix, but now it's public. Noah Spence is not going to be playing until training camp. He's going to be kept out just to to protect his shoulder after that surgery that he had right after the season, unlike Cam Newton. And we'll see what they got. But Mike Smith glowing about Noah Spence. Robert Ayers calling him a 15-sack guy. Maybe I'm nuts, but I want to see the guy be on the field. He might have to beat out some guys ahead of him here.
Now, it's interesting. To be fair, judging from some of the comments from Smith and some teammates, and maybe Spence himself, he was more injured than we thought last year. And I thought he had a pretty good rookie season. I'd give him a B, Lee. I'd give him a B.
Yeah, I think that's not outrageous.
And, Steve, if he can get his physical limitations behind him with some of those hurts, I think the future is bright for the kid.
Very bright.
Very bright. I certainly wouldn't call him a second-round disappointment at this point, Steve. I think he's got a ways to go, Lee, but I liked what I saw in a lot of flashes from this kid.
Well, obviously, he gave you a lot to like, but there's, as you stated, there's a lot more to show. The thing that just blew me away, and I remember writing a huge story about it after the final game of the regular season, he played with one arm. Dude played with one arm that final game. How he tackled a guy like Newton with one arm, I can't remember, or I can't figure out how. But I remember after that game, I went to Grimes, I went to McCoy, went to a couple others, might have been Akeem Spence, and
You went to two cheerleaders.
Well, that's a whole different animal.
That's a whole different animal.
And I struck out as usual.
Yeah, it just reminded me of the time we Lee and I were coming down the elevator.
In Kansas City,
and the whole cheerleading squad piles in the giant elevator. It's just kind of funny moment.
To add to that real quick, and then we'll get back to Spence. We're in the elevator.
They're like, can you fit any more? I'm like, yeah, bring him on in.
You know what was going through DeKemper's mind? I hope we get stuck between the third and fourth floors.
Well, it was a service elevator, and it was like all cheerleaders and maybe a couple of their handlers, no pun intended, and Steve and I. And the blonde next to me, we have every game we feature an out-of-town cheerleader, an opponent's cheerleader. The blonde right next to me, we just featured that day on JoeBucksFan.com.
Did you inform her of that?
No, but I was thinking to myself, honey, you don't know where your picture's been today. Back to Noah Spence.
All right, back to Noah Spence.
I was the players were just blown away the fact that Spence gutted out playing with one arm and played reasonably well as a rookie doing that. I remember Brent Grimes just said, savage, man, that's savage. And he won over that locker room. By that,
didn't Smith also back that up, Steve? Saying, he showed a lot of toughness.
Well, he gets an A+ for toughness, A+ for as a rookie for grinding through and contributing. But how good is he when he's healthy? We really don't know. So that's what makes this interesting.
A lot to like, but a lot to show. Still,
there's nothing wrong with being a situational edge rusher. If you do that in the NFL, you can get a dozen sacks.
You are valuable, and you make money.
You'll make $10 million a year getting a dozen sacks as a situational edge rusher, and everybody will be happy. So I think he could do that. He could be that guy. All right, Ira. Now let's roll over to Vegas, one of your favorite port of calls, if you will.
Port of call.
Well, the three of us are all talking up about, the beautiful future ahead for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
I thought you were going to say beautiful something else.
Vegas weighs in, Steve.
Vegas weighs in. Now, I'm not too familiar with which sports book or which odds maker is better than the other, so you can enlighten me on that.
But we've already had two separate sports books.
I'm more concerned with my own pick, but something happened here where one of these big shots in Vegas says the Bucks are an 8-win team. Enlighten your people, Ira.
All right. The first prediction came, it's an over and under for every team. in the 2017 season, and usually they wait till after the draft, which is smart. And there was another sports book that came out first, and they had the Bucks pegged at 8 wins. Saturday, I believe it was the Las Vegas Westgate Superbook, very well respectedly, and they ranked all the teams. Atlanta, 9.5.
Oh, really?
Yes. Carolina, I believe, 8.5, and they will bounce back from last year. And the Bucks and the Saints tied 8 wins apiece. What's funny about that is that would be a one-game improvement for the New Orleans Saints, who have been 7-9 three straight years, Lee, 7-9. And it would be a regression for the local Buccaneers.
Sure.
Now, Lee, given O.J. Howard and DeSean Jackson and Chris Baker and the continued maturation of Jameis Winston, to pick the Bucs to have less success than 2016, I think it's a little bit surprising. But I will say this. What's the key to these over-under wins? They want action. They They want people doing both sides of
sure.
it. So it's not necessarily what they think is going to happen, but what can get the most action from the fan base. And, Steve, for whatever reason, they got the Bucs pegged as an 8-8 team. And I'll say it right here first. 8-8 would be a bitter disappointment
even nine
for
wins.
The Tampa Bay Bucs.
Even if they get their, you know, as you're saying, and that's what they do, they're not in business to be honest and objective. They're in business to make money. So let's say, as you stated, they're looking for action, and all of a sudden the win total goes up to 9. Standing pat, I don't think Bucs fans are going to be happy with 9 wins, provided they don't get a wild card.
I can see a lot of Bucks trying to bet the Buck fans are trying to bet the over.
Well, Buck fans, I think intelligent Buck fans who choose to invest would want to bet the over because, gosh, 9 wins. I mean, I think status quo is a solid bet. You know, you could do worse.
Yes.
But Vegas, you said it yourself, Ira. Vegas is a perception game. So you know what? Bucks fans are not ascending on Vegas left and right compared to the masses that are there. The national view of the Bucks is not exactly that sexy. Even though you got high-level commentators, you know, praising
right,
the Bucks,
right.
It doesn't mean that the rank and file think the Bucks are pushing over the top. And part of that is the Saints still have a high-profile team, and they had two first-round picks, and they added...
They still got Drew Brees.
They added Adrian Peterson. They added Alvin Kamara, who a lot of people thought was a first-round draft pick, and they've built on their team. And so, you know, the action is the action, but it seems like the action is usually close to the reality. And right here, that 8 wins, that troubles a lot of Bucks fans.
Now, let me say this before DeKemper weighs in, and he's going to love this. DeKemper could care less what the Westgate Vegas Superbook says because Kay Adams, his new favorite on TV, is very excited about the Tampa Bay Bucks chances in 2017, and DeKemper's all into it. Am I wrong, Lee?
Well, I'm not as infatuated with the former Cardinals ball girl as some of our readers are. I mean, I throw her picture up on the website, and people just, like, they're fighting over each other. I got to have this woman. And but, yeah, she's given just, how can I say it, throaty accolades.
Effusive praise.
Well,
effusive.
I was throaty. I like throaty.
Throaty
accolades
nice.
About Jason Light. She wants to stay up late with Jason Light. Oh, and I've been told that Jason Light has piqued his interest in hearing this.
Well, Jason Light doesn't mind doing that show, right, Steve? He goes on
that
show.
Oh, did you see the one-liner he had?
Yeah,
was that an awesome
one-liner? And Steve, to your point about some national people, Adam Schein, always been a Buck guy. Peter Schrager, he's all in on the Bucks. There are some national pundits, so to speak, that are high on the Bucks, but the Vegas Superbook, Buck fans shouldn't read too much into it, but it's interesting that they have them at 8.
Well, I tell you what, the one-liner that Jason, in case people didn't see the video when Jason Light, about, 10 days ago, was on Good Morning Football with the former Cardinals ball girl, Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, who is a former Princeton running back, is ready to weigh in on
something. No, is this baseball Cardinals or football Cardinals?
Baseball Cardinals.
Okay. Baseball Cardinals, okay.
Baseball Cardinals. Yeah, she's one of these girls that dances on the dugout and gets on the video screen and does stupid stuff with the fans.
It's like Ira when they announced the BOGOs at Publix.
So anyway, Jason Light was on there, and Kyle Brandt, who was a... I guess reality TV star of some repute, but he also was a running back at Princeton, so he's got a football background. I can't remember what the question was to Light. Something about Hard Knocks, and Light said, "Well, Kyle, I I remember you've been on some reality shows. You probably got shot down by some hot babes.
Light's been known to have a nice little zinger one-liner once in a while, Steve. Mostly in your direction, if I remember right.
I don't remember that at all, but that's fine. Look, there's plenty of people upbeat on the Bucks, and they should be. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk's very big on the Bucks, but there's still an awful lot to prove here. And Ira, you know what? Let me just roll right into this here. Why not? If you had to just finger one thing that the Bucks need to step up in, one thing that has to improve, it's the biggest thing to push them to the next level. What is that? One thing.
The trenches. Now, I know that's all-encompassing, but offensive and defensive lines, I don't think, are particularly playoff-worthy. I don't. When you take them in their entirety, offensive line, lot to prove after 2016. You got all these shiny new weapons, Lee. That's my point. They're not going to do you much good if Winston doesn't have time to throw, and if you don't have any kind of running game, it's going to hurt you with the play action. Defensively, we go back to Steve's pass rush. They weren't very good against the run last year defensively. I like them at the flanks. I'm a little concerned about the trenches.
Here's something about the offensive line that was very interesting. I wrote about it, I guess it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, on JoeBucksFan.com. Sorry for the people that I get under their skin promoting my site. But, hey, Jason Light was on Shine's radio show and exclusively heard on SiriusXM with your buddy Chris Russo, Mad Dog Radio. Light said one of the reasons they needed to get team speed at wide receiver, he said Jameis was in the pocket too long,
patting the ball,
waiting for guys to get open. They couldn't get open. Boom, he got hit. That flies completely in the face with the frauds at Pro Football Focus, who they don't factor in that. And
they've
been banging on Donovan Smith and banging on the Bucks offensive line. The day after I wrote that story, some fan Twittered to Steve and I, well, here's what Pro Football Focus said about quarterback pressures. And I wanted to reply, I'd rather listen to what a general manager says than some geek in his dorm room in Ireland on a Sunday night throwing up grades on offensive line off a freaking TV tape.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Lack of separation, I think, for, you know, if you boil it down to what Light's talking about.
So are you suggesting Dante Dye, the misplaced Calgary Stampede?
You know, I'm not, Steve, I'm not willing to give the offensive line a total pass in that regard. Is it a factor? It can be a factor.
All right, you went with the trenches. That's fine. Trenches, good answer.
What do you got, kicker? What you got, baby?
One thing the Bucks, biggest thing they need to get over the top as far as improvement goes, one area that needs to improve, number one.
10 sacks. Get a guy to get the quarterback on the ground. Period. End of sentence.
Boy, he didn't waste any time.
He didn't. Lee wants that double-digit sack.
That leaves it up to you, my friend.
I have to say Jameis. Jameis has got to make the strides that they expect him to make to win those huge games that, frankly, he did not win in December. Now, he had an excellent season, excellent year two. He progressed, but the mistakes have to be cut, and he's got to show up in those giant games, even if he's got crap around him. But this year, he shouldn't have that crap around him. So I'm not bashing Jameis.
Which game in particular bothered you?
Well, look, we saw what happened in New Orleans in December and Dallas. Two games, Bucks needed one. He didn't get it. Ultimately, he's the guy with the train on his back. So he's got to play better, cut some of those mistakes. I think he will. But if he steps up, forget about everything else. If Jameis kicks up a notch, I think that gets him to 10, 11 wins, and they're in.
You can't downplay improvement by a third-year quarterback, Lee. You know, I think we all make good points. With me, it's physicality. With you, it's put the guy on the ground. And Steve says, Jameis, you got to step up your game. I don't think any Buck fan can argue with those.
And it's your podcast, so you win.
Now he's got better weapons, Steve. He has better weapons.
He's got much better weapons.
It's going to help.
Much better. You know how better these weapons are? And you know who's coming back? And I hate to be the antagonist, but why not? Your big weapon, Charles Sims, I'm hearing he's super healthy, super motivated. Now he's got more experience than ever.
The Kemper's got all the stick carriers on Charles Sims's case. I can't believe the power you got, the Kemper.
I don't know about that. Pawlowski wields power.
You know, everybody wants, you know, the Doug Martin people want to point out that only 2 years ago he was second in the NFL in rushing. I want to point out that 2 years ago, Charles Sims might have been the best complimentary back in football.
Five yards a carry.
And he was healthy.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but as Lee points out, that was the 1 year that he's been here that he's been healthy. Yeah. That's a problem. So we'll see. I'm not down on Charles Sims when he's healthy.
I'm going to make an early prediction, as ridiculous as this is. I think in week one, Dirk Cutter is going to target Sims early in that game to try to give him some confidence boost, to try to see if he can recapture that 2015 form.
By the way, he made the biggest play of game one last
week. Last year. Yeah, he did.
More so than ASJ?
No, it was a tremendous play by Sims.
You know, I'm not knocking him, but ASJ, that was a hell of a catch he made that put the Bucks over the top.
Never heard of him.
Otherwise known as AS Jackwagon. I mean, I know I'm not critiquing Charles Sims that much, but ASJ play, got to be fair, that was a hell of a play. And that, I think, you know, when the Bucks got O.J. Howard, I think that's a glimpse of what we can expect. That's what the Bucks wanted ASJ to do, or want their tight end to do.
Now, Lee's talking about the big touchdown grab week
about
30
yards
in Atlanta, diving grab in the end zone.
Early in the second half.
Severian Jenkins, he got down the seam, beat his man, and used his height. And it was,
and showed why Jason Light drafted him.
It was exactly why he was drafted. And, you know, a week later, he's arguing with cops about DUIs.
Do you guys see Sims as the guy who's in jeopardy because of McNichols?
Great question. That was one of the questions and from readers. Oh, here comes the siren.
That's ASJ right now.
There's ASJ, yeah. Good. That was a good one, Lee. That was a good one. All right, so one of the questions we took from readers, Ira, on our Twitter feed, and follow Ira, for God's sakes, iKaufman76. The man's at 16,000. It's very impressive.
Get him over 20.
And 6,500 downloads on the podcast, Steve. Not too shabby.
It keeps growing. I'm sure it's much higher than that by now. That was old numbers, Ira, on one of the episodes. Now, Mr. McNichols, the new draft pick. A lot of people want to know. Lee asked. Here we go in the podcast question. And let me just take a look. It's from Ilian Martz. Nola, N-E-L-I 30 is his Twitter feed. Does McNichols, as a pass catcher and a guy who maybe can run between the tackles, he did in college, how big of a threat is he is to the guy, all the guys in front of him, including Sims?
I think he's a big one. I know he wasn't a first-day pick or a second-day pick, Lee, but having said that, it's a whole new ballgame when training camp starts. He's got a fresh slate. Mm-hmm. He can win this job, Lee.
Sure.
I mean, he's not trying to beat out, you know, Walter Payton over here. Let's be honest. The guy could be the 15 carry back. Now, it's going to be done by committee, mostly. And according to Bill Polian and some other guys, that's the way it is in the NFL now, unless you got an Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of teams have that guy. One guy gets 15 carries, another guy gets 8, and another guy gets 5. And that's mm-hmm. the way it's done. And I think that's the way it's going to be done, unless Doug Martin makes some kind of miraculous comeback. And he makes the team, and I'm with, I'll say it before Isbitz, it's unlikely. Mm. I'm going to stay with that until I hear different. I think McNichols has every chance to be the primary ball carrier, not just the third down back. Tell me where I'm wrong, Lee.
I don't think you're wrong. Some people say I'm on the fence about Doug Martin. I'm actually leaning toward what you guys say, but I'm not as adamant. I just am, you know, nothing. There's no signs that suggest Martin's guaranteed to come back. Nothing on the record from the Bucks suggests that. I don't give a damn what he does in a sandbox.
Won't be there the first three games, gentlemen. Will not be there,
no matter what. A couple things about Charles Sims and McNichols, specifically about McNichols. First off, when they drafted McNichols, both Cutter and Light, they didn't talk about his running. They talked about his blocking. They talked about his pass-catching ability. Who does that describe? Charles Sims.
It does.
Number two, it's hard to get excited about a fifth-round pick, especially given recent history with the Bucks. Just fifth-round picks overall, it's dubious to say they're going to make the team.
That's right.
However, and I want your response to these two comments, everybody and their brother suggested this was such a deep draft at running back. Given, let's say that's fact. Let's establish that. Let's say as a fact. It's just for argument's sake. Isn't that to suggest that maybe in other drafts, this McNichols might have been a third-round pick in other years?
I understand your point, but Steve, I'll also say this. If the Bucks were that excited about McNichols as a prospect, would they have waited till pick 162 or whatever. Well, you could flip that coin over.
I've thrown the draft in the rearview mirror. I don't care anymore. He's on the team. He's on the team. And the week one starting running back job is wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open. Jaquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber, McNichols, and Charles Sims. Wide open. Any one of those guys could get it. They probably won't give it to Sims because we already know
that he
can't run up the middle.
That's right. And so, Martin unavailable if he
unavailable.
Makes the team.
He's not available. He's not part of the equation. So it's a three-man race because Sims, you can't count because he can't run between the tackles. So if McNichols doesn't fumble, the minute he fumbles, it's Jaquizz Rodgers on opening day. I'm telling you that right now. Yeah. But if McNichols doesn't fumble and he shows he can run up the middle and performs, he might very well be the guy who has the rock on opening day. And if he performs well, Doug Martin's not coming back because they'll just move on. So he's got a tremendous opportunity. I don't know if he's going to win it, but if he fumbles, he's toast. But if he can run the ball, if he can beat out Peyton Barber, good chance he's the opening day primary back, with Jaquizz Rodgers spelling him and going third down. So it's a really interesting opportunity for the kid.
And let me say this, Lee, and I don't think this is stretching it, but look, McNichols, yeah, he could have great hands. He could be a heck of a pass catcher. But, Lee, let's be really honest here. Charles Sims is an exceptional pass catcher.
When healthy.
He's exceptional.
When healthy.
If McNichols is significantly better than Charles Sims as a pass catcher, he's got to be Lance Allworth. I mean, what are we talking about over here? Charles Sims was drafted because he's a hell of a pass catcher.
Well.
And he's proven it. So I'm going to stick with Charles Sims, and how do you like that? He still could be the third down back, and McNichols can get his 15 carries.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And just to throw it out there, because we all weighed in, like I've said before, I think there's only at best a 10% chance Doug Martin's back here, and that's the story. But we'll see. Sure, go ahead, Lee.
Go ahead, Lee.
About Sims, the only reason he's on the roster is such a great pass catcher. I've been told, maybe you've been told by the same people, if I told you who told me this, you would recognize it as a credible source.
It's not that Kansas City cheerleader in the elevator, is it?
Well, that's a credible source, but it didn't come from her.
I got it.
That is credible, trust me. Good one-liner, Ira.
That's incredible. Forget about credible.
Okay. There you go. If it wasn't for one
Put
Lovie
the blue
Smith,
pill away, Ira.
Charles Sims wouldn't be on the roster. Bucks wouldn't have drafted him. So a Bucks scout in a meeting, a Bucks scout dropped the name Matt Forte to Lovie. Lovie being ambivalent at best when it comes to offense, heard the name, perked up, and Charles Sims is a virtual cinch to be on the Bucks because this scout compared him to Matt Forte. I'm sorry, Charles Sims is not Matt Forte.
We all are.
It's a little disappointing that if that's true, Lovie Smith had that kind of clout in the draft room, Steve.
Oh, you know he had full control.
He had some clout, but if he had clout to that extent, to tell Jason Light what you're doing there, that's a little disheartening.
I don't know. Draft day is draft day. Was this on draft day? Was your
prior to the draft, when they're going through all the, you know, they spend weeks, if not months, going through all the players and whatnot. In a meeting, I don't know specifically when, but in a meeting leading up to the draft, a scout dropped the name in a comparison. He reminded them of Matt Forte, and that got Lovie's interest. Lovie started looking at the guy, and, you know, he had Matt Forte on the brain.
Disappointing, Steve. Disappointing.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, you don't know what actually happens draft day. That's all that matters, you know. I don't know. But, it's just like every history of every team. You just, you know, as the years go on, you get different versions of the truth. And the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here to help you through it and decipher all the coding and all the messaging.
Steve,
who knows?
You know, here we are in May, Lee. Off season, nothing going on.
What off season?
Supposedly.
Stop saying
supposedly.
I started the podcast by saying there's no off season.
I said supposedly. and here you guys are with all these announcements. Some you're making today, some are coming down in the next few weeks. You guys are always working at Joe Bucks Fan. Don't you sleep?
Not much.
It's mostly all the women at JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. You know, when they get away from your locker when the day starts, it gets us inspired.
This stick carrier stuff is, this is only the beginning, Lee. It's only the beginning for this stick carrier movement. You got to credit the commish. I was there that night at that party. Steve, it was a sight to behold.
You've never been the same, Ira. Never
I walk
been
in, I had my Cadillac hat low. I figured nobody knows me. Walk in, serenaded by 350 stick carriers.
Serenaded.
Ira, Ira. Except for my Not wedding Irv. Night. That's the first time I ever heard anything like that.
Woo.
Unbelievable. And that's a podcast for another time, Steve.
Not even an anniversary.
Not even an anniversary.
the wedding podcast. All right. All right, Ira, it's been fun, of course. Thanks again to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We're back Thursday with another episode. Everyone, subscribe to Ira, iTunes, podbean.com. Leave a review. It makes a difference. It doesn't make a big difference, but we like it. So, and it puts a smile on Ira's face. What could be better than that?